And thank you to the Virus Bulletin staff. It's a great honor to begin this keynote address at Virus Bulletin. The subject of the address is the AV industry quo vadis, and if you missed Latin, that means where are we going? And this is going to be a very fast-moving presentation. I have lots of data to talk about, lots of things to show you. And I'm going to be talking about the AV industry through some perspectives that we've gleaned over the last several years. So, we get the idea that the AV industry is under an assault, and I'll talk about that in a minute, as to why I think that might be the case. And often, I think, unfairly. There's a tremendous amount of work occurring in these rooms with some of the smartest people I know in this business. So, we'll talk a bit about that. And you know, our perspective comes from, some of us have been around about 14 years. And we've been involved in security for many of those years. But several years ago, we started developing our own antivirus engine, starting out with Joe Wells, and then moving on from there. So we had to start from scratch, and we had a lot of perspectives. I will tell you one thing, that experience gave me new respect for everybody in this room. It is my 20-year career in this industry. I don't think there's been very few projects that have been this difficult. It is extremely hard to make an antivirus product these days, and it's extremely hard to maintain one. I can compare it to trying to change all four wheels of your car while you're driving. In the meantime, we have this problem of perception versus reality. And again, these slides are going to move fast, but I do have copies of these slides after it, so you'll be able to pick up any things you missed. The first issue we're dealing with is comments from the peanut gallery. The peanut gallery, if you're not familiar with the term, is the cheap seats where they throw peanuts at you, which may be happening to me soon. So. We hear this all the time. And I heard this when I was talking to the press, when I was talking to people like the investment community or to analysts. You hear all kinds of really strange comments. First of all, AV is dead, which is, endpoint is dead. It's all going to go to the gateway. It's all going to this. It's all going to that. Whatever. So this is the fashion du jour. It's all going to be free from your ISP. Another statement that didn't necessarily come true. It's just a cash cow, really. AV companies need to move on to other areas. Signatures don't work, which is, it's not an interesting growth space from an investment standpoint. With Vista, you don't need antivirus. I had a very prominent journalist tell me this a few months ago.
Oh, I've heard from some people, Microsoft, that with Vista, you don't need antivirus.
That's fine, that's cool. That's great, so just give me their email addresses, I'll put a keylogger in their machine. Wireless thing is the future. Now, I don't have any big thing against whitelisting. I think it's not necessarily the right way to go. I think it can be used in conjunction with blacklisting, but it certainly is not the end of blacklisting. Your product didn't find anything on my system. This is the latest thing that you get from users. They download your product on a trial, they run it, and they didn't find anything, so it must not be good. Which, again, is an odd way of thinking, because people have become tuned to having programs find cookies on their machine. And we hear all the rest. The AV industry is overcharged, they use too many resources, the support's not good, not enough detections, etc., etc. So you guys are under assault. We're all under assault. And many of these claims are not based on any facts. They're comments from the peanut gallery. And so when we were making this product, and I'm sure you do this every day, it's like you were, first of all, you're swimming upstream trying to make a very, very, very difficult product. You're dealing with millions of samples, and then you've got these comments, this comment storm going on the side. So this barrage of negativity. Here's an article recently about 80 companies overcharged. Of course, it was a Gartner analyst. Whitelisting is the way for security. Texas Bank, all these things are this noise, but it's not really logical. People like to choose polarity. They like the idea of choosing a side. We see that, of course, the current political situation. They want to choose a side, and they'll sort of choose a side that is not really a side. There's often both sides. There's something in the middle. There's gray areas, and I'll be talking about that. So, of course, spoken recently by the crazy drum bum guy down the street from Sunbelt, the end is nigh upon us, repent. So, what's the truth? So I decided to actually kind of noodle around and find out what's going on. Well, When I first started dealing in the antivirus industry, it was back in 1997, and it was a very closed industry. It's 97, 98 time frame. Yeah, small group of individuals, extreme secrecy regarding samples, small number of samples, and really, VB was the major testing organization. Things have definitely evolved. We've got the party, the malware party, which is what we have today. Large amounts of researchers involved, numerous security lists, vetted and non-vetted, free flow of information, and numerous testing organizations, both professional and non-professional. So we've got the professionals, which we're all familiar with, the professional testing organizations, and then you've got the people who download a bunch of malware, create their own little zoo, and then go out and post on Wilders or DSLR reports or whatever. And I'm not saying it's bad, I'm just saying that there's lots of different people testing different things. The thing is what sometimes gets lost in all of that discussion is the quality and relevancy. So we all know that malware is exploding. We've seen this chart a million times. This is Andreas Marx's test, and it mirrors, I'm sure, all your own samples. Malware load equals information load. Interesting, when you think about it, that volume was a method of obfuscation. If you wanted to overwhelm somebody and not make them notice, if you wanted to overwhelm TSA, have 1,000 people walk into the airport with the same shirt, the same pair of pants, and just overwhelm the TSA agent. It's going to obfuscate that one person who's carrying the bomb. So information overload is itself a method of obfuscation. There's a non-linear correlation of size and efficiency. And this is just a very simple way of saying dealing with a couple gigabytes of data or a couple megabytes of data is a whole lot different than dealing with several terabytes. So your zoos are already in the terabyte range, multiple terabytes, and it's like dealing, you know, especially back in the old days, you deal with a 10-page Word document and you can flip through it, but you get to 100 pages where it crashes, you got memory problems, the hard drive is spinning. There's this problem when you're dealing with large amounts of data. You want to run a scan against your sample set, it's going to take you a week, and your scanner's probably going to crash in the meantime. So there's all these problems of how to deal with large amounts of data. Again, an overwhelming situation. There's a testing methodology, prevalence versus relevancy. I see tests constantly, which to me make no sense. And I know we've talked about this, and I know this is not a new subject. We've been talking about it for months, and we talked about it at this presentation. When I test an AV engine, I do what a user would do. I go ahead and go through my spam folder, grab a bunch of pieces of spam, and grab a bunch of executables, fake CNN news headlines, fake codecs, antivirus, XP, whatever. Throw the real stuff the users are running into, because this is what your enterprises are reporting. They're not reporting a DOS virus from 1998, or a script, or a macro virus, or even a piece of malware that's a few months old. That's not what they're dealing with. They're dealing with this major, mostly Trojans these days. And not all the information is necessarily correct. VirusTotal, Jotty, these types of services are incredibly valuable. In fact, I would consider them mainstays of our industry. So I'm not in any way maligning them. But what happens is you get enterprises who will upload things to VirusTotal. You'll get, and they'll say, well, the AV engine didn't detect this. Yeah, but did it? There's real-time protection. There's other methods of detection. When the Trojan actually executes your machine, will the AV engine pick up different things from that? Are the scanners already all able to tell from this? So that's one issue. The other issue is people uploading innocent files to VirusTotal. I mean, I did an experiment. If you read my blog, this is an experiment. It's not the first one to have done it, but I took Notepad.exe and I ran UPX and a couple other different packers on it and uploaded to VirusTotal. And of course, multiple engines detected this packed version of Notepad.exe. And then I checked the save file the next day, and already one other person had added this Notepad.exe. So people are taking, some AV companies are taking stuff wholesale from VirusTotal and just dumping it and running a fast signature, getting them into the database. We had somebody who uploaded our own firewall product, personal firewall product, VirusTotal, and suddenly we're getting all these customers screaming that their AV detection is detecting it, that the AV engine is detecting it. So it is, there's some sort of caution has to be used. Very powerful tools, kind of like a jackhammer. It's really great at tearing up the street, but you don't want to point at your toes. So the truth is, a small amount of malware is actually responsible for the most damage. I was on a panel last week with Vince Weaver and Symantec, and he was saying 5% of low malware is actually not worth it, but actually causing 95% of the damage. Yeah, that's probably realistically accurate. Certainly, you have a small number of variants causing lots of different things, Trojan fake alert, the antivirus XP. So it's this just overwhelming amounts of information. We need to narrow it. We need to create a very clear taxonomy for our researchers to deal with it. We need to be able to handle malware. So now, the new methods obviously create real problems in detection. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. There's increasingly sophisticated evasion techniques, anti-dumping, anti-debugging, anti-emulation, anti-interception. You bring malware into a debugger, it won't even load, or it says it acts like something else, or it decides not to do anything for a week, or it tries to evade a sandbox by requiring a reboot, or has anti-sandbox, whatever. It's got all this stuff. You guys all know this. So it's additionally even more challenging. Nothing new that you don't know already. So we all know that the old AV company is a thing of the past. Carefully writing detections of malware that maybe only updated once or twice. Now, with money involved, you can have an AV researcher spend an entire day on the most beautiful detection. Building just cathedrals of beauty and detection, and it's worthless the next day. So we go towards methods like blacklist and packers and doing all these very aggressive techniques, and even then they become rapidly obsolete. And in fact, there's even a question whether static unpackers themselves are soon going to become obsolete. They're certainly useful, but with these new types of server-side polymorphics, custom packers like TIFFs, this kind of stuff, you're having an increasingly difficult time actually being able to use them, which means performance may become an issue. Static unpacking, very fast, very efficient. Generic detection emulation, not as efficient, slower. But we're very likely going to have to move towards a more emulator-centric model. So for those who really invest a lot in emulation, I think you're probably in good shape. So this virus bulletin will focus on new techniques. I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know already. I'm going to focus on the business side instead. Now, we decided again, with all these comments in the peanut gallery, to actually find out what's going on and what's really being said by the customers, what really is the situation. I want to make it clear, I'm not throwing stones in glass houses here. I'm aware of my own products and imperfections, my company's imperfections, these kinds of things. I'm not doing that. I'm trying to paint a clear picture, an accurate picture, as to what actually is going on. So, Gartner says that growth is slowing, but it's still there. At least they project roughly 7% compound annual growth rate. Fair enough. So what I did is I actually decided to look at some actual security companies and see what's the real growth. I looked at five publicly traded companies and one company that happens to report their financials, which is Sophos. This is publicly available information. Numerous disclaimers apply. Part of the reason we got ourselves into this whole banking mess in the States is because we had some really odd accounting rules that were promulgated by the various governing bodies. And these types of odd things do sometimes occur in software as well, where you have the Financial Accounting Standards Board's Senate Board with GAAP doing some pretty odd things. So it's difficult often to actually read what's really happening. As an example, a company will now have to expense the stock options when they hire a new researcher if they get that researcher stock options. So trying to get the accurate data is not always difficult. And of course, the NTSCM rule applies, which is never trust a software executive with numbers ever, ever, ever. But putting that aside, and then one final note, I use these numbers as a proxy for antivirus. It's not necessarily accurate. It's really a proxy for security. However, it gives us an overall look. So, this is the revenues of the companies. Again, I did not take into account foreign currency issues. I did not convert these to dollars. I just simply took the numbers and drew a midpoint. We saw about 11% compound annual growth rate of these companies. We take out Symantec, which acquired Veritas, and the number goes down a bit to a little under 10% compound annual growth rate. So the business is still there. People are still buying. And what's more important to a business person is, are there earnings? And for the most part, there are. This is earnings per share for these companies. So again, I'm going to give plenty of disclaimers on this. This is a broad look at these numbers. However, let's look at something else. Are AV companies slacking off and not investing in R&D? Are they just spending money on marketing? The answer is no. If you see these numbers, in fact, it's probably easier to see the line graph. You can see that the marketing numbers, the blue, are staying relatively static. And typically, you see marketing sales numbers typically around 35% for a software company, which is the industry average. And then you're seeing R&D actually just gently tick up. So it's certainly, and again, this is a percentage of revenue. Remember, we have the revenues are increasing. Revenues are going up. And R&D expenses as a percentage of revenue are also gently upticking. So there's certainly investment going on in research and development. And again, I'll apply a billion disclaimers just to include other things. But the bottom line is, 80 companies are certainly being responsible in investing in the technology. And they're certainly not just milking the cash cow. So that's very interesting news. Now, what do customers think? So what I did is I went ahead and put together a survey of about 750 customers. Now, these surveys are biased towards our own customers because they're our own newsletters. Nevertheless, it still has valid data. I did run a test on the surveys to see if, in this particular survey, to see if taking out Sunbelt would have that dramatic an impact. And it had an impact, but it wasn't worth wasn't significant. So we'll just go with these numbers. It's a general picture. Again, most people on the survey were home users of small SOHO-type users. And about 60% run a dedicated AV product. I think you'll find this generally is the case. Most people run dedicated AV products. Very critical thing to remember, by the way, is that particular presentation. What brand is primarily used? ABG, Symantec. Of course, you see our bias in there. A lot of people using our product. I do not represent 14% of the market, but I certainly do represent 11% of the market, but I do represent a large portion of my own users, obviously. Avast, ESET, McAfee, etc. So we ask customers, what do you not like about your AV product? Well, 26% said performance. A bunch of other people said other. And I have these survey results, by the way, if you ever want to see them, you can see what those other comments are. The price, tech support, ability to remove malware from infected systems. But it's not like 90% of the users are sitting around complaining about performance, which is kind of the way you think it would be. What do you like? Well, people really like the fact that these things are, the product's able to keep up with current threats. Almost 70%. This is not a little deal, guys. I mean, this is, almost 70% of the users. I like the fact that my AV product can stay up with current threats. Product quality, about 60%. So, yeah, we're pretty happy with product quality. Performance, a lot of people are happy with the performance of their AV product. Interesting. Now, I'm going to flip to these very quickly because I've got a lot of slides to cover. What we did is we asked people on a scale of 1 to 5 to rate various opinions. 1, we would define as poor. 2, undesirable. 3, fair. 4, very good. 5, excellent. When you see the charts have a lot on the far right, that's a really good sign. That means somebody's saying, I love it. Yes. When they say, you see the chart bounce towards the bottom, the one, the poor area, they go, I don't like that. So, again, these descriptions, poor, desirable, fair, very good, excellent, correlate to numerical values. So, the overall opinion of their antivirus product, 82% said, very good, excellent, interesting. And 14% said, fair. 74% rated their overall opinion of their AV vendor. Very good. Excellent. Trust. We deal in a business of trust. We're the guard. We're the security guard. Trust ratings is very important. How do you talk to your trust rating vendor? Well, 82%. Very hard regard of trust the AV vendor. How would you rate the tech support? This is where things get a little bit. We did some more studies, which I'll show you in a minute. This is not the greatest chart. About 56% said very good, excellent. The middle, about 28% said man, but fortunately not a lot of people said poor. The value for your money. Did you get what you wanted? Now, of course, we have a bunch of ABG people who are always going to be happy with their free product. But putting that aside, again, I have this data broken out in cross-tabulation format, by the way, if you email me. And you'll be able to see how people rate each of their vendors. Sunbelt, F-Secure, Symantec, ESET, everybody, including ABG, is rated. You can see the cross-tabulation. So, very good value for money. Performance and resource use is still a pretty good stat. The majority, 3/4%, said very good, excellent. Ability to protect against malware, again, 78%, very good, excellent. How well does it clean up malware infections? Again, 73%. Now, we wanted to contrast that with the enterprise space. This is consumers. Now, the enterprise space, things change dramatically. I think that's where we have some work to do. This was public. The public was readers of our newsletter, W Server News, which is a newsletter that's been around for eons. And Sunbelt's NTSysAdmin Forum, one of the most active forums for network administrators. Incidentally, I'm not giving a plug here. It's a really good place to get information as to what system administrators are talking about. You can go to Sunbelt's website, sign up for the free forum. We've been hosting this forum for years. And there's tons of people on there, lots of traffic. And so we posted that there. So we look at the seat size, we see that a bunch of these people are SMB-type customers. 67% are under 500 seats. Then we have a sampling of people with 500 to 1,000 seats, sampling of people up to 5,000 and over 5,000. So it's a pretty good spread. Are they running a dedicated AD program? Again, we see the split pretty much comes out the way the consumers, a majority run dedicated. What is the primary AD product? Here we take a bit of a dip. We're down to 5%, but Symantec, of course, is a big gorilla, followed by McAfee, followed by ESET. Interesting configuration here, by the way. This probably wouldn't match the general population as much if we did a broad survey, but it's a very interesting mix of people here. Okay, what do you not like? Well, performance, it's an issue, 31%. Ability to move malware, that's a big issue. It's totally different from the consumers. And the reason is that the enterprise guys are getting infected, see the infections far more than the end user. End user may not even see the infection, or they may not be getting infected, but the enterprise is dealing with many more people in the organization sees the infection, and it's really important that the stuff removed. More important, incidentally, than being able to actually protect against new threats. A very interesting thing there. So, what do you like? Keeps up with current threats. That's 59%. Quality of the product, the performance, etc. Again, you see it kind of a reverse. Very interesting. Now, overall opinion, this is where things change. There is a higher level of satisfaction in corporate America with our AD products than it is with the consumer market. We could expect that, but I think there's some lessons to be learned here. 56% said very good or excellent, the overall opinion of the vendor. Trustworthiness. Well, they do trust us. That's good news. 72%. Overall opinion, 66%. The support becomes an issue. And this is where we start to see support. This is probably one of the most important issues for corporate America. They'll forgive you if the product doesn't work or it breaks, but they really get upset when they can't reach somebody on the phone or get an email back. Value for your money. Okay, well, we'll take a little bit of a hit there. Interesting. Performance usage. Okay, well, there's a bit of an issue. And again, a lot of these guys are running machines that are, single core, half a gig of RAM, 80 gig hard drive. Performance is a big issue for these people. So we see a drop. We see about 45%. So we're below the majority. Ability to protect against malware, 60%. Regular product, very good, excellent. Things that have infected systems, 55% said very good, excellent. Okay, so now I run a comparison. The green is enterprise, the blue is consumer. And you can see that when it comes to trustworthiness, end users trust their AD vendor a lot more than the enterprise guys. And we see the overall opinion, it drops a bit. You notice there's less of a frequency of the number of 5 on the scale of 1 to 5 rating, 5 being excellent. There's less of a frequency of that, down to 18%. You really want this chart to be skewed as much as possible to the very end. You want to see lots of 5s. A 5 excellent rating means a tremendous amount of satisfaction. Very, very happy people. Overall opinion, again, there's a bit of a difference there. So for the consumers, the big issue is performance, price, then tech support, then detection and removal. For enterprises, the first is performance, but the second is, can it get the stuff off my machine? It's funny that an enterprise will probably forgive you a lot more if you miss something than if you don't remove that antivirus XP infestation on their enterprise. And I'm sure you've all dealt with this in the support staff. We certainly see stuff like this. Price and support. Again, price is not as big an issue for enterprises as it is for consumers. Consumers rated their AV vendor a 4 or 5, 74% of the time. They trust their AV company more than an enterprise does. They're more satisfied than enterprise customers. Enterprises aren't as satisfied. They're far more concerned with removal. Now, I decided to look at technical support practices. So what we did is we took somebody who was just hopefully an unbiased observer. We said, you pretend like you can't install your software, it keeps crashing. Okay? Just very simple tech support question. And we did a survey of 15 vendors. We actually did 16. We took one out because that's a vendor that it was too problematic to figure out how they would fix this. So 15 vendors. Now, we see that it's fairly easy to find support.
Well, you know, you go to the website and click on support. That's the density of the situation.
We look at how many people have toll-free text support, how many people provide email support, chat support, and KV. And again, these may not actually be inaccurate. You may be on this list, you may say, wait, we provide that. But the point was, somebody who's just ignorant, and just ignorant of the industry, just go there and try to get an answer. Right? So just throw them out. See, a lot of people support email, not a lot of people support chat as much as email. Everybody, most everybody has KVs, but the toll-free support thing, which is a big deal for consumers, is lacking. And there's actually one company that charges $20 per call. One had to dial a local number to get a toll-free number, and otherwise it's another place was $9.95 per call, except for installation and known problems. So, the ease of finding support, we assign an average score of about 4, 1 low, 5 high. So 6 do not offer toll-free support. 6 offer toll-free support. 2 or 3, depending on how you count it, charge for support. 11 offer email support, 4 did not. 6 offer chat, 9 did not. Most offer KVs. Then we looked at things like the length of the IVR tree. The IVR tree is integrated voice response. It's press 1 for this, press 2 for that. You know, we have all gone through the hell of, you know, calling up somebody and saying, I tried to cancel an order with Dell over the weekend. I placed the order by accident. It was comedic. Transferred from one person to the other, the IVR systems, all that sort of thing. So we wanted to see how many buttons did they have to push to get to somebody. And generally, it was really no more than 2. Length of time waiting for an email response. You know, how long did it take? Length of time waiting on the phone. So we measured these metrics, and again, for the most part, the people that did have a phone number actually didn't pick up, which is interesting. The email responses showed a bit of a difference. So, you know, one company was an average of 17 hours, a couple companies were an average of 17 hours, one company was, I think it was way over 24 hours, I think she was still waiting for the time she gave this report. 9 hours, 12 hours, a few people gave fast responses, you do want to. So, we had a rated overall impression. What was your overall impression of the experience that you own this product? And she came up with a bunch of different ratings. The overall rating is 2.7 on a scale of 1 to 5. So as an industry, support is something we've definitely improved. It's sometimes difficult to find reports. It's sometimes difficult to get somebody on the phone. And a number of cases, long waiting times for an email. So other business issues. These are all things we see every day. You're not the marketing teams of your software company. You're not the business teams of your software company. For the most part, you're in research, you're in R&D. This is theoretically not your problem, but I think this will become your problem. It has become your problem. Because as I spoke earlier, there's this problem where people have a perception of the industry, mostly from outside, with a peanut gallery, that does not reflect reality. And a lot of it is caused by these types of things. So you've got very aggressive marketing practices by some of your business people, such as automatically billing credit cards. This is something that users get very, very upset about. Such as scan and scare tactics. I mean, I'm on record as being very much against this practice. I think there's nothing wrong, incidentally, with saying to somebody, you have a virus in your machine, and I'm going to charge you $20 to remove it, or $10, whatever, that's fine. I mean, If there's something there and you want to charge something to remove that, I think that's a valid business proposition. But when these products find cookies and demand a $40 payment, but scare the user into believing that this threat is far worse than it actually is, or finding a few registry keys from something, you know, weather bug, or I don't know, or maybe something that was bad that's already been removed, I have a problem with this. And I think when you look at the users, it's, again, it adds to the perception of the business is not serving its customers. So I'm against scan and scare tactics. For the most part, and again, I don't want to have some moral discussion here. I'm just personally, I think it's not a good business. Alerts that a product is being discontinued, upsells to a paid version, these sort of fake alerts. Spamming, so a few people in the industry who have spam. Relying on poor quality third-party e-commerce providers. You know, I won't tell you the Google search to find out there was kind of things you'll find on this. But there's some searches you can run that will, you know, put some pretty upset people. But our customers are us. You know, I buy stuff online, you buy stuff online, and you would get pissed off at some things that actually happens. It's not specific to our industry, but our industry is in a position of trust. Our industry is in a position where we can't do things like bundle in ask toolbars. Nothing really wrong with ASK these days, but they have a history. But I mean, the thing is everyone knows the only reason you bundle an ASK toolbar is you get a dollar per megawatt. If you're going to bundle it, at least don't pre-select it. Yahoo, Google, whatever. I mean, again, this is not some sort of moral talk, but I think that in a position where we are establishing trust, we're trying to maintain that trust, we're the guards, we're the cops. Our hands have to be clean. Our hands have to be very, very clean. So it's not all that bad. I think things could be better, but I really don't think things that are all that bad. I mean, listen, you know, Sunbelt just invested a very large amount of money developing a e-bar. As a business person, I mean, yes, I enjoy technical things maybe a little bit more than some of my other colleagues, but the truth is, I mean, I love it, it's cool. But the truth is, I can't make a product without having some idea that I'm going to get some return on investment. And yet, so this is the thing, well, why would you do that? Well, the truth is, there is money to make. There's a good market. It's a good place to be. So let's take a look at some of the solutions. What are some of the things that can be done? Well, first of all, the R&D side, you guys all know the problem. I don't have to tell you the problem. In fact, you know the problem far better than I do. Clearly, you have to lobby your management. You have to lobby your board. You have to lobby your shareholders for more investment. And it has to come from you. Your management may not always understand how bad the problem is. But you have to buy new servers, many, many new servers. You're going to have to add more R&D staff, more detection writers. You're going to have to add new technologies. I mean, okay, there's all kinds of things we've thrown around. There's stuff about the cloud. That's cool. I have my own opinions about that. Neither here nor there. These are all technologies that deserve a pay. Whitelisting? Certainly, hybrid whitelisting capabilities can exist in our products. I don't think, again, that whitelisting is the future, but certainly a hybrid could be looked at. Advanced simulation techniques to deal with these new types of malware. Increasing QA and evolving our development practices. You know, a lot of companies are still on the old waterfall method. A lot of you have made the transition to a more evolved model. We're out of the waterfall. It's a huge difference in terms of development. And also a reductive versus an additive philosophy. I think that when you look at those earlier charts, you saw how many people were just buying a dedicated AD product. And that is certainly something that needs to be kept in context because, you know, for example, our dedicated AD product may require a lot more than we're delivering. Right now we say, this dedicated AD product is $30 or $40 or whatever, and here's the premium product that's $60 and it includes 10 pounds of stuff in a 5-pound bag. You know, it's got frontal controls, it's got firewalls, it's got IDS, it's got IPS, it's got, you know, all kinds of stuff. Span controls, all kinds of stuff. Okay, but the guys lower down, you're going to probably have to steal stuff from the higher-end suites and bring them down. I loaded up the latest copy of Norton Antivirus, not to plug Norton, but I saw a very nice little hit capability in the product. And that's an antivirus product. So you may not, you know, oh, it's a dedicated AD, we just want to keep the AD. You may actually have to start bringing some features out to make sure that those users are well protected. And again, this reductive versus additive philosophy, trying to really give users what they need. I mean, do they really need some of these features? Do they really, is it actually a benefit? I look at some of these things and I go, wow, I don't know. We're trying to reduce pop-ups, we're trying to increase performance, we're trying to reduce tech support costs, trying to provide a better experience. Do we want to have so much in there? Do we want to be like an old 60s caddy with the, with the flares coming off and lights and, bangles on the side and, do we want to have something clean and simple and highly efficient? Because obviously, as you know from R&D, the simpler it'd be better. So deliver more for less. I think we're going to really have to look at as much as possible for the most reasonable price. Delivering more for less is a completely valid business axiom. It is actually the way that we're actually using it. And optimize organizational lens with the new malware order, and you're already doing this. I'm going to tell you what you don't know already, but we know it's a problem. The bigger issue you have is trying to get your manager to buy into it. Because your manager wants to make money. And you've got the problem with one of your managers saying, in order for you to make more money, I'm going to have to deliver more, and I'm going to need more resources. And that's something, hopefully I can help you with. Because as a person who runs a company, I get these requests all the time. And I don't want to spend, all this money all the time, but, when we look at the problem, we go, okay, we're going to have to increase resources here, we're going to buy more servers here, we're going to do this. These are things that require buying from your management. And continue to evolve the testing strategies to reflect reality. This is really important. Right now, we're dealing with stuff that, we're writing our detections for stuff that we know will never touch a customer. And why are we doing this? And it's very disappointing to me to have to invest those resources. Well, it's because, our OEM customers, enterprise customers go do a Google search, find some tests, and go, well, we didn't do well in this test, but we don't focus on DOS viruses from 1995. Well, these are things that we have to figure out how to solve, because an enterprise needs to be able to say, this is a good product because, and I think I'm thrilled to hear that VirusGold is going to be involved in testing strategies. There is lots of discussion around here, but if there's anything that I will continue to, jump up and down about, it's prevalence and relevance. What's really out there that needs to be worried about? What's really relevant needs to be worried about? And there's this concept, I spoke about this at Log, if you were at Log last week, about enlightened self-interest. That's a difficult concept, and I admit that it's sometimes it's hard to see the forest for the trees, where you say, sometimes my actions that will help others will actually serve my own needs. Several years ago, the Anti-Spyware Coalition started out to battle spyware, and it was really focused on people like 180 Solutions, Claria, Wenu, Direct Revenue. These things are all practically gone. Right? We went to the A/B test in the Anti-Spyware Coalition in was it January, and it was just like, okay, well, that's done. There was a tremendous amount done by the community to get rid of these problems. And you could have argued, well, it wasn't to your benefit. The anti-spyware space has dramatically changed. You no longer have people doing drive-by downloads and getting Zangle on their machine as much, maybe, but this stuff's just not happening anymore. You said, well, that didn't help you. Well, what? That problem's now gone. Now I can deal with the next problem. Because, endpoint security will have plenty of demand out there. And if we can tackle a lot of these issues, working with the FTC, with law enforcement, with the community, with lawyers. The anti-spyware battles were won by a combination of many things, including the Federal Trade Commission coming down hard to find these people. It included investors in these companies getting very upset, trying to legitimize themselves. It included class action lawsuits, the threat of class action lawsuits to get these guys to kind of business practices. Yes, everything went to Russia. Yes, everything went to China. Yeah, I know all that. But that was one battle we were able to do something effectively. So the strain is reduced by continued community involvement. We had this crazy thing happen. The last couple of weeks, the Tree Bowner Cage, and so this drama is still going on. But you know what? During that period of time, there was just a little bit of a dip, in malware distribution. You have to make the barriers to entry higher. And I told the story of Moggs. If you were there, I apologize for repeating the story. But about 7-8 years ago, I met my kids were going over to a friend's house, and I met their dad. And we're talking. I said, "What do you do for a living?" He goes, "Well, I do internet marketing." Like, what kind of internet marketing? Special offers. Going, "Spammer, the guy's a spammer." And he was a spammer. I'm like, "Oh God, I need to go watch my But 6 months later, I saw him again. I said, "So, you still doing this kind of stuff?" He goes, "Nah. It's too hard. It's the money. It's just too hard. I'm not doing something else." He's out doing real world stuff like magazines, like real magazines. So the barrier to entry. So you do push out a lot of people. Harder you make it. And that was spam cob, that was spam house, all these things. So putting the pressure on these guys, raising the barrier to entry. There was this whole discussion long last week about botnets. Well, we know that the top 5 botnets are hosted, they're on servers located in an area in Northern California. It's all there. It's not fast flux. It's static. So, that stuff could be handled. And it can be handled by community involvement. It would be nice to kind of relieve the strain of it. Take that 30,000 pieces of new malware a day and maybe drop 15. Kind of help it. So, in addition to that, you have the right as developers and as researchers to have say in business practices of your company because they ultimately affect you and they ultimately affect the industry. And you have that right. You have that right to say to your CEO or to your manager or whoever, "You need to invest more, be more part of these community groups, you need to do more in this area." You have that right. And you certainly should exercise. And many of you, I'm not saying you don't, because I've worked with many of you. I've worked with many of you on takedowns, on various research activities. I know you're doing this. So I'm not preaching. But I am certainly saying you have the right to have a say when you see your marketing people doing something that you don't think is right. You have the right to say, that's not helping. And if I can help in any way in that, I believe that these things ultimately will hurt us more than they'll help us. They may give you a nice jump or a bump for your quarter, but at the end of the day, will it really help all of us as a collective? And I'm certainly not anti-capitalism, by the way, make it very clear. I like making money as much as the next person. And again, continued industry cooperation. And that's how we're going to get through a lot of this. It's so great to be in the malware business these days. I showed you that slide earlier, a man looking through the little hole, and that was the AV industry. It was a great group of people. But it was a group of people that was just very, very, very focused on keeping things very contained. Yeah, things are different now. But now we have the crazy party, it's like that picture of the Visa party I showed. It's a little bit crazy, but at least we're cooperating, we're sharing information. It's a tremendous amount of a bunch of lists like you are, these embedded lists, the information that flows back and forth is fantastic. And this is what's going to get a lot of us through this stuff. The AV industry is strong. It is a profitable business. It's a growing business. It's a business that's worthy of additional investment. It is a business that has a future. And you all have a great future. future in this business. So don't be taken as don't be discouraged by the voices of the peanut gallery, because you know they're always going to be there. In 5 years from now, we'll be saying something else. Blacklisting absolutely is a valid strategy. Endpoint security is absolutely a valid strategy. There may be a paradigm shift 5 years from now, but for now, what we have to do is continue to focus as an industry to collaborate, to work together, to work with organizations as Spire School to continue to improve our product, our technology, our testing methodologies, and overall the customer experience. So folks, that wraps up my keynote speech. Thank you, and you can always email alex@sunbeltsoftware.com. I have all this data available, survey data, the presentation itself. Just email me and I'll get back to you next week when I'm back in the house. Thank you very much.